And I had Candy in who was I riding with? I'm trying to think of who I was riding with. But I was driving with somebody, and in their truck, the candy was in the floor. So I'm reaching out in the floor, pulling up candy, and I'm throwing out candy. Well, Bunk Sadler is out there, and he's hollering, "Throw me some candy, Pastor. Throw me some candy. Come on." And I thought we were through. He said, "Throw me some candy." So they told me to reach down the floor and find some. So I reached down the floor, and just while I was watching him, I picked up the candy and I threw it at him. And I didn't realize there was a nut in it, because it was on the floor of the truck, and I hit him right in the forehead with a nut. He said, "I know I ask you to throw me any more candy, I promise you." All right. Now where is Brandon? I can't wait to tell this on him. Well, his parents are here. They're walking around, so they'll be right in a minute. But I'm going to tell this on Brandon and BJ. This is what I overheard. I overheard this, all right? Y'all guys, parents can tell me if this is the truth or not. Brandon and BJ, I heard them talking when they were smaller, and Brandon said, "Can people really predict the future with cards?" And BJ said, "Sure." Said, "Our mama can." Brandon said, "Really?" "Yes," Brandon, BJ told him. "She knows. She takes one look at our report card and can tell us exactly what'll do when Frank gets home." Isn't God good? Now, today's going to be really, it's going to be a really, really different Palm Sunday. We've been trying to do some intense Tuesday night services, but we're going to have to do an intense Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday, get your Bible out, turn to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, stand for the reading of the word. Matthew 21. Verse 1. You got your Bible, say amen. And we're going to go all the way to verse 11. Again, you got your Bible, say amen. You got some candy while ago, say praise God. Amen. Matthew 21. Let me turn off any chance of any feedback. There we are. Matthew 21, verse 1. "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives. It then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them on their clothes, and set him therein. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? This is very powerful. And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee." Stretch forward with your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne. And I know, God, nothing happens apart from you. I ask you right now to touch us, Lord, and to help us, God, to understand that this day is a very powerful day and that something special is getting ready to happen in some lives. And we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name. And the church said, you're going to be seated. All right. God is so good, isn't he? How many in here have been praying at times through your life for God to do something? Do something about it, God. Do something. And when he did it, he didn't do it the way you were expecting. Matter of fact, you may have missed what he was doing because he showed up in a different way. That's what we're going to talk about today. Palm Sunday, actually the king who did not come as expected, when God arrives in ways that you didn't see coming. I sat down, we're just going to go in teaching mode. This is very powerful. Hopefully before this day is over with, some of y'all are going to find some strength that you've been unable to connect with in a long time. See, it was Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, Jesus riding through Jerusalem on a colt. It wasn't just a parade. It was a prophetic confrontation. Something very powerful was getting ready to happen. Matter of fact, Jesus was not coming the way everybody thought that he should. He's revealing himself as the king. But they're expecting him to come in and take over and throw the Romans out of the way, overcome them, and take over their military because they were under the thumb of the Romans. But he didn't come as expected politically, militarily, culturally, religiously. He comes not with force, but with peace. He comes not with pride, but humility. He comes not with soldiers, but he came with surrender. He came not with a throne, but he came with the cross. He arrives, but not as expected. Maybe you're here today and you've been asking God to open doors. You've been asking God to show you ways. And things happen that you knew could not happen without the help of God. And it seems like it's going in a different direction. It seems like it's not happening the way you prayed it. God, give me a sign. Let me know it's you. And God's giving you signs, but you can't see it because you're expecting something else. Wow. You see, this is very powerful because he comes God's way, not their way. And it's the same that's true for us today. God often moves powerfully in our lives, but rarely does he come as you have prayed for or predicted. Let's go ahead and dig down in some exegesis, amen, or some breakdown in the scripture. He said, I'm going to go into the village, or y'all go into the village, and you find this donkey. You see, Jesus is showing his power because he is orchestrating every detail. Nothing is random, nothing is accidental, everything is as intended, but not as expected. He's in total, complete control. This is not chaos. This is divine choreography. If you can look back, you'll see many places where you were asking God to move a certain way and you were asking God for a certain thing and you didn't see how God was moving a different way or God was doing something different or God went opposite of what you asked for and didn't realize that it wasn't chaotic, but it was divine choreography because God was setting you up for what you needed, not what you wanted. Amen? Sometimes what we want and what we need is two different things entirely. There was a donkey, which meant peace and not war. You see, the donkey is a royal symbol of peace. In that day and time, if a priest was to come into town or a monk would come into town, they would come in riding a donkey because it was meant peace. But also if a king was coming into town and he wasn't meant to conquer, he's coming in to conquer, he's riding a white horse. But he's riding a donkey because the king doesn't want to start a fight. So Jesus comes not as expected on a war horse, but he comes riding a donkey. Wow. Can you imagine Satan laughing? He said, I got him now. He thinks he's coming in to take me down. He thinks he's coming to take religion down. And he's riding on a donkey. I'm getting ready to show him something. Not realizing Jesus was in 100% control. They laid down their cloaks and they celebrated with branches and threw branches down. Here's the hard part. Ready? Cloaks indicate submission. Branches indicate celebration. Get ready because you may be here today. And I may be reading your mail. They celebrated him, but they didn't truly submit to him. Let me ask you something. We just had praise and worship, and we celebrated. Man, we celebrated. But how many times, not only do you celebrate, you submit and say, not my will, God, but yours, and mean it, because it's not usually what you're thinking it's going to be. And they cried, Hosanna. See, they wanted rescue, not redemption. They wanted immediate political rescue. But Jesus came to give them eternal spiritual rescue. Wow. You know, whenever Jesus comes into town, he always shook things up. And whenever Jesus comes into your life, he shakes things up. If he's there, you know he's there because he's going to do something different. He's going to do something more powerful. He's going to show you in a way like you never would have believed how he is Lord and how he is God. And the people, they ask this, who is this? The whole city is shaking. Jesus enters and it disrupts everything. Wow. How many remember when Jesus entered your life and how everything changed? How many remember when he took control? Things that you used to like, you no longer like. Things you used to hate, now you love. The places you would go, you would love to go. Now it's not so good anymore. Things you thought you would never be. Church, I would never be in church. Yes, you will. Watch. And I love it. Amen? I told my wife the other day, I used to pick on my mama's cats. We used to fight with her cats. We threw nuts at her cats. And when we had cats in the house, my wife had them, but I didn't have them. And so God says, I'm going to pull one on you, buddy. And he sends me in three little kittens that had lost their mittens. I love them cats like nobody's business. And I'm pretty sure every time I look down and love on them cats, I hear God go, uh-huh. How you like that? Uh-huh. You see, God, and please listen, God didn't always show up as expected. You see, they were expecting a warrior, a liberator, a champion. Not somebody coming in humble and peaceful and cross-bound. He's on a donkey in humility with peace. And you couldn't see it at the time, but he was carrying a cross on his back. Get ready. Now it's your time. Ready? Get ready. Our first challenge. Just stop and think about this. Where has God moved for you, but didn't move as you expected. Just think about it. God came in, God moved, God took care of the situation, but it didn't happen the way you've been praying or the way you were expecting. How many times in your life has this happened to you? Think about it. Get ready. Don't miss God because it came differently. Don't miss him because you're thinking, I know God wouldn't do it that way. Really? Excuse me, are you God? He knows what he's doing. Get ready to lower it down now. Y'all say, Lord, to plow deeper, faster. Lower it deeper. Lower it deeper. Here we go. Ready? Get ready. This is tough. My daddy said, this is tight, but it's right. Ready? Praise without surrender equals power without impact. You see, they praised loudly, but they surrendered very little. We've been telling just a few days, that was not real surrender. You see, when Jesus didn't act as they expected, their praise collapsed. You see, there they are with the palms going, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessings come in the name of the Lord. They're waving their hands. They're very excited. Their hearts were not surrendered. And when he did not do what they were expecting, their praise stopped and their anger took over. Wow. You see, praise without surrender is emotion without transformation. Praise without surrender is noise without obedience. Praise without surrender is celebration without commitment. Praise without surrender is a moment of excitement without a life of devotion. That's why the same crowd is hollering, Hosanna on Sunday. On Thursdays, crying, crucify him. How in the world can you see Jesus in your presence, worship him, and a few days later holler, crucify him? How's it possible? Because they had not fully surrendered. Because Jesus didn't do what they expected. Here's my challenge. Ready? Here it is. Ready? Are you praising him for who he is? Get ready. Are you praising him for who you expect him to be? Think about it. Are you praising him for him just being God? Can do anything. Are you praising him because you expect him to fall into your mold and do what you expect him to do? That's a very powerful, powerful challenge. You see, is your praise louder than your obedience? Are you worshiping because he's worthy? Are you worshiping him because of the bread and the loaves? That is so heavy. Application. Power comes when praise and surrender meet. When your worship's not based on what you want. Your worship is based on who he is. And when you praise him, even when he doesn't move the way you expect, then power can erupt in your life. I've told you this a million times, but I remember going into Roses one day with DC and Daniel. They're little bitty things. And Daniel saw this little truck he wanted, or little toy. And he said, Daddy, can I get this? And I said, Daniel, Daddy ain't got the money right now. So Daniel said, that's okay, Daddy. And he pulled up the other toys and put it behind those toys and pushed it back in. I reckon hiding it for a later date. And when I saw that, obedience, submission, not to me being big and bad, but Daddy, I'm going to submit to your will, not mine. You know what I did? I reached in behind there and pulled that toy out and brought it with me. I said, there ain't no way that boy going to be that good about this thing. I'll make sure he walks out with it. Amen. Power comes when praise and surrender meet. In your life, where does power or where does your praise and your surrender meet? Again, Jesus brings peace, but not as expected. You see, they wanted peace from Rome, but what they needed was peace with God. I remember I was working engineering. I was having a wonderful time, but the boss man in the warehouse knew we were having some awesome robotic stuff coming and needed me there to help put this stuff together, PSI, operate it, and teach others. And so I'd be at the dinner table, and he'd walk by in the lunchroom. I'm sitting with other engineering guys. He would go. And I would just hold my head down. He'd come in, he was constantly doing that. And I looked over at my boss and said, don't let him do that. Take his pole away. My boss man said, I'll do everything in my power to keep him from taking you. And then one day, they come and tell me, guess what? You got one more week in engineering and you're going back to the warehouse. And I said, I thought y'all told me that you needed me here. I said, we very much need you here. I thought you told me you were going to keep me from going over there. That's what we thought. But his line was a whole lot thicker than what we had to pull against him. And so I come in and said, well, until the machines come, which would be a month or so, we want you to acclimate yourself to all the other stuff in the warehouse. And I remember, I didn't look pretty. I got mad. And when things didn't go right, there was times I'm working on these machines. I'm needing help. It's a three-person job. I'm doing it by myself. Nobody's coming by to help me. They turn their head the other way. And I remember kicking cases off three-story platform and getting mad. And I said, now I actually argued with God. I told God, I thought you had my back. But I guess I was wrong. I remember that night after I got so mad, I was walking, and one of the other Christians come up to me. The guy that actually led me to God looked at me and said, hey, dude, if you're an advertisement for heaven, I think most people rather take their chances in hell. You see, God was moving, but not as I expected. Some very powerful, powerful things happened about a month later, and it was very powerful. But that little month area there, but I kept hearing those echoes in my head. If you're an advertisement for heaven, they'll take their chances in hell. And I said, God, please help me to adjust my attitude and just get with the program because better's coming. Oh, yeah, it did. It was awesome. But at that moment, I didn't see it because all I could see was God done me wrong. He didn't do me wrong. He was moving me around. But I had to get moved in that position so I could be ready when the other stuff happened. You see, it wasn't a peace from Rome, but they needed peace with God. Here's the challenge. I accepted this 20 years ago. 25 years ago. The DC's 40, so I accepted this about 30-something years ago. Will you accept God's peace or demand your version? That's what I did. I demanded my version. God showed me, you ain't getting what you're thinking. You got to sit down and let me do it and watch what I can do, and it's going to be a whole lot better. Here's the application. Ready? Let him bring peace to what you're trying to control in your life. I'm getting ready to close. Getting close. Not yet, but getting ready to. I know this isn't your average Palm Sunday message, but it's heavy. The kingdom advances, but not as expected. They expect the throne. He chose the cross. You see, they thought he would overthrow Rome. They thought he would take the throne and he would establish an earthly rule. But instead, he overthrew sin. He took a cross and he established a spiritual kingdom. Here's the challenge. Can you trust God's victory when it doesn't look like victory? Huh. 30-something years ago, I didn't think it was victory. I was mad. I mean mad. I'm not talking about mad. I'm talking mad. And once I calmed down, and God showed me there was a lot more doors getting ready to open, if I would just calm down and wait for him, wow, it was amazing what happened. You see, God's greatest work may not look successful at first. The cross looked like defeat, but it was the greatest victory in history. Listen to me. Where do you need to release your expectations so you can receive God's revelation? Think about it. Almost through. God still moves, but not as expected. I keep putting that up there. Ready? He moves in unexpected ways, through unexpected people, and unexpected times, with unexpected methods. Here's the challenge. One more time. Will you release your expectations to receive God's true revelation of what he has for you? Do you realize how many people have got in their own way because they decided they wanted to steer the ship instead of letting God steer it? Wow. Expect God to move. When you pray, expect him to move, but not in your way. Let him be king over your expectations. Let him be king over your disappointments. Let him be king over your assumptions. Let him be king over your timeline. Let him be king over your life. I want everybody to stand. Just stand. Stand. DC, come on up here. Hold on. I didn't see this. One, two, three. I'm sorry. I had to pick those of these to read. Here's the challenge. Ready? Ready? And we're going to pray. Let Christ be king, but not take all your expectations off of it. Remove it. Totally. Just say, Christ be king of my life. Say this, Christ be king of my life. Say it, Christ be king of my life. Help me remove my expectations. We need to surrender our expectations, our disappointments, our assumptions, our timelines, our whole life. Now, I want everybody that will to come on up here.
Come on up. Come on up.
I want everybody to repeat what we're getting put up there, okay? Get ready. Get ready. Say this with me. Jesus, be the king I need, not the king I imagined. Woo! One more, back it up. I got to do it again. Jesus be the king I need, not the king I imagined. I surrender my expectations. Move your way in your time for your glory. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. Now pray this with me again. Follow me. Ready, y'all, repeat after me. Ready, it's hot up there. Jesus, come into my life. Rid me of my fears, my expectations, my broken places. I lay down my pride. I lay down my plans. I lay down my pain. I welcome you as King, not just of my praise, but my whole life. In his precious name I pray. Amen. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. God's got you. God's got you. Every last one of you. He's got a miracle with your name on it. Amen. He's got an assignment for each one of you to do. You got to trust it. You can go back to your seat. You got to trust your assignments coming. Amen. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brandon to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those